Well, the big guns are away. They are off sunning themselves in the beautiful place around Australia. Swan Hill for Louis, and I reckon Andrew Newton-Jum might be at a sweat clinic somewhere around Adelaide. But we're joined today by myself, Rhett Biglands, and the one and only, the legendary captain, the man who wore more headbands when he was playing. He was a superstar captain. Dom Cassisi joins us. How are you, Dom?
I'm good, Biggles. Great to be here. Filling in some big shoes this week, aren't we? So in the opener it said Crows legend and former Sydney Swans player. So there's still a Crows legend here in yourself, mate.
But
no Sydney Swans player.
We're not filling big shoes, filling big seats. I'm sitting in Andrew Jarman's seat and it's got a massive indent in it. So
yeah.
Yours for Louis.
The hydraulics have gone in that one.
Nice and high. Hey, massive weekend of sport that's just rolled through. We're going to get stuck straight into that. But the big news of the day, and I know you are one of the most influential captains of the AFL in the last decade, but this man has just retired as well. The great Luke Hodge has just announced his retirement ahead of his 300th game this week.
After the end of the season, I'll be hanging up the boots. It's probably a decision that we've been pretty clear on for a while. I guess discussions with Clarko, the footy club, and more importantly, the family, I think it's the best thing for the footy club and myself.
Dominator outside of his records and achievements, which we're going to get into a little bit later on. Where does he sit? You as a captain, you would have played against him, shook hands with him many times at the centre bounce.
Yeah, look, just one of the absolute warriors of the game and genuine leader. So, you know, leader in the way he attacked the footy. But playing against Hawthorn, it was like having a coach out in the field, the way he directed his players. So absolute legend of the game, and we look forward to talking more about him later.
Hey, hoodoos and records are made to be broken as well, and we had Port Adelaide breaking the top eight hoodoo. They got there, mate.
Oh, yes, they did.
Or did
they? No, mate, they did. Here we go. You're starting already.
No, West Coast
are ninth at the moment.
They weren't in the top eight when these two sides met.
Oh, well, Sydney and Saints are in the top eight now, and we beat them, so...
They weren't when you played them?
Doesn't matter. West Coast doesn't matter, mate. It's a long year, and the wins, just the 4 points keep banking up.
Are you happy with yesterday?
Really happy. Really happy, because... it's not easy to win over there. Not easy to win. And I thought their best players stood up when they had to. And I thought they were fantastic. So, mate, you know, we're this far into the season. You know, the season's flying by. We're almost three quarters of the way through it. And both teams are in the top four, mate. So the state can't complain. It's set up for a great second half of the season.
Well, the other record that was broken, Jamie Wincup yesterday equaled Lounsey's all-time winning record in the Townsville 2000. Two vital goals from Jackson Trengove yesterday as well. He's coming on board to join us a little bit later on the show. And a little Stumpy Laird, one of your favourites, Dom.
He's good.
Rory Laird. He's going to come and talk to us about how Adelaide are travelling after their win Friday night. And a couple of little celebrations they had on Saturday night, an 80s party.
Well, we'll have to tap into that, the little legend from West Adelaide.
Stay tuned to that one, eh? He's a man who's had more touches than a typewriter at the moment. He is standing up big time, isn't he?
He is, and then just the quality of his possessions too. He doesn't turn many over, so we look forward to it's a big show, Biggles. We're looking forward to chatting all those guys, and no doubt, mate, we'll have a bit of banter along the way and see how we go.
Well, the other one as well that's playing out today, the carnage on stage nine of the Tour de France. God, Aussie Richie Porte. If you haven't seen it, jump on our Triple M website. The crash which Aussie Richie Porte has had is insane. Coming down the mountain at 72 kilometres an hour. Now, he is now out of the Tour de France, which was a shattering result because he was sitting fourth. Chris Froome is still the yellow leader into stage 10. And also the Reaper. You know the Reaper, Dom?
No.
You have no idea who the Reaper is?
No.
Why not?
Fill us
you're never going to die.
Oh, okay, there you go.
No, Robert Whittaker, the Reaper at Las Vegas, the first Australian UFC title.
Lover, not a fighter, mate. I don't follow that stuff.
That's for sure. No doubt. Stick around. Big show, the quiz with no name on its way also, and plenty of prizes to give away. Joined by Jacko Trengove from the Port Adelaide Footy Club, fresh off the kite from the West Coast last night. Join us on the show, and Rory Laird as well. Also $1,000 on the line if you want to win the quiz with no name, which I always fail. Dom Cassisi be half a chance. Hey, Dominator, you watched the Crows on Friday night and you're a little bit intrigued by a flag sort of put in the sand, you would have thought.
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, it was a good overall performance by the Crows, there's no doubt about that. And they've obviously sitting top of the ladder, so there's not too many complaints, you know, coming out of their camp. But I guess, you know, where the only scrutiny I guess they've faced this year, and it was probably warranted to a certain extent, was the physicality of some of their big guys. And we know, Biggles, that come finals time, it's a different ball game altogether. And unless you're big guys are physical in those big games, It could actually
which
cost
Tex you, always is.
It could actually cost you big games.
When people bag Tex, it rattles me a little bit.
Yep.
Him in big games, people forget the Hawthorn final and the goals that he kicked.
Yep.
Massive games, he stands up.
No, absolutely. I guess where it probably stems from the fact of Slaney getting tagged every week, getting belted up and all that sort of stuff. And that's when you need your big guys to really have a presence. You remember playing against Geelong, you know, when Gary Ablett was there, and whoever tagged Gary Ablett would absolutely cop it. Scarlett would come flying in. Every time you ran past Scarlett, you'd get it. Every time you ran past Paul Chapman, you'd cop one. So by quarter time, you just spent. Now, I wasn't saying that from the Crows. And I just thought on the weekend, it was pretty evident that both Tex and Josh Jenkins came out with a different mindset, that they're going to be physical. They were going to hunt the footy. They were going to hunt the opposition player with the footy. And it made the Crows look so much stronger. And you can see the players lift around them. So if they can do that every week, then they are really going to be pushing hard this year to come the pointy end of the season.
Hey, that match review panel as well at the moment, which is having a look at that JJ hit, Johannesson hit into the post. If you can't remember it, here is what happens when Tex just put a little nudge into JJ.
Well, a bit happening too in the goal
screen. He ran into the goalpost.
I reckon Tex has given him a push.
I thought Tex went over there to see if he was okay.
But the Bulldogs players have gone to him because they reckon he shoved him into the post.
So the kick on its way from Crouch. Johannesson goes.
Yeah, Tex pushes him straight into it. Not, I think he wanted to have Shepherd, but he's inadvertently been smashed straight into the post. Johannesson's
Tex,
hand to the
trainers. To be fair, Tex is putting his hand up saying, look, it was I did not mean to do
it. It was a Shepherd.
Accidental, correct. He was shepherding the goal through.
That's classic commentary. You can hear trade as the Crows, the Port champion. Yeah. Saying, oh, he's trying to throw Tex under the bus. And then you got Roo sitting next to him going, nah, he's fallen over. Classic, but he didn't deserve to get rubbed out.
Well, and what's your verdict? So where do you think it's going to sit? Obviously, we're all in agreement that it was an accident and that he went over and apologised. There was no malicious intent. Very different to the Luke Hodge on Wingard scenario. Yeah. So where does it sit?
Oh, look, he couldn't get rubbed out for that. It's probably a fine. At worst, I would have thought. So, a
couple of players in a bit of heat at the MRP tomorrow night. Tim Membry, they're talking, we'll get 2 weeks. Easton Wood with a week. Levi Greenwood, have you seen that hit?
I just saw briefly a replay of it yesterday.
Yeah,
so
I reckon a week for that. I would have thought maybe a couple. And Levi Greenwood, obviously the Whaler product, is not a dirty player, but that was a big hit. Luke Hodge, $1,500 fine for his little indiscretion. Trent Cotchin with $1,000. And Taylor Walker, the one we're just talking about, $1,000 they're talking for that one. Mm. He'll get that out of his Australian's car and just slip that along. Robbie Tarrant, $1,000, and Drew Petrie, $1,000.
What were your thoughts, Biggles? Crows?
Yeah, they were
one of their stronger performances?
Yeah, there was a little bit of angst in there in certain points throughout the first half, but the Doggies weren't great. Hard to judge Adelaide against a side who is running on half their rat power, but look, I was impressed with the way in which they didn't over-celebrate. They just got the job done. In the rooms after the game, it was very evident that it was just a performance they needed to have. But, their fans, they really jump on selection, don't they? At the moment, Scotty Thompson is already getting ridden, and Pikey had a couple of comments about Scott Thompson after the match also, and already the scrutiny that he's under.
Yeah, I need to have a look at it. And look, it was always going to be a challenge for him first game back. He hasn't played at this level this season. So making that transition from SANFL up to AFL, I'll have a look at it in more detail.
How'd you rate Tomo's performance, Dom?
I think he got the 10 or 11 touches, but I think what Pikey said is true. You know, it's his first taste of AFL after having interrupted pre-season, and you really need like a bigger sample size. You need 2 or 3 weeks to see Tomo out there, and I'd love to see that, because I reckon, they won well on the weekend, but I think when the chips are down in the midfield, I'm backing him in to be a presence around Sloane to win that contested footy. So
very intriguing. We interviewed Scott Camporelli prior to the game, and he mentioned that the assessment was made on Tomo that he would play the week prior versus Carlton. They elected to rest him on the basis of him playing on Friday night. So they almost selected him for the week after, knowing he was good enough to play. They just didn't want to go him back-to-back. That was the impression that I got, and I think Mark Ricciuto did as well when we interviewed Campo, who always gives a great insight. Mm. Interesting stuff that they freshen the veteran up.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it is hard once you get beyond 30 to get up for each game. So, look, I'd love to see him get another crack at it. I mean, it's too hard just to pick it off one game. So, yeah, we'll see how we go with Tomo. Beagles, big day yesterday for Port Adelaide, heading over to Subiaco. It's never hard. It's never easy to win over in Perth. It's a long trip, and obviously West Coast are very hard to beat over there. And it was a very solid win. And
is that the most significant win of Port's season?
I think it'd be have to. I think it'd have to be up there because I went over there on the back of receiving a lot of hate.
There or Sydney away, maybe.
Yeah, the first, round one against Sydney was a good win, but you've got to remember the amount of pressure they got. They copped last week from losing to a top eight side. Then you've got to travel to Perth and try and back it up. But look, I thought they the cream rose to the top. You know, their best players stood up when they had to. There was none better again. I mean, Paddy Ryder's season. It was interesting to hear what Kenny Hinkley had to say about Paddy Ryder.
Pretty special player. I love him. I can't help that. But he's the best ruckman in the competition and we're lucky to have him back in the team this year. And he's just dominating games week in, week out.
Yeah, mate, you're a former ruckman.
A bit of love from the coach.
You've got to love that. You've got to love that.
No, well, Neil Craig had little man syndrome, so he never loved the ruckman. But yeah. Kenny Hinkley's a big rat for Paddy. That's awesome.
Well, you're a former ruckman. You'd be watching him closely. He'd have to be the best, by far, the best ruckman in the comp right now.
He ranks about seventh for contested marking amongst all players in the AFL. So that's the number one ruckman taking the most contested marks. His hit out to advantage, he's been beating by Mumford, might have him a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
His timing and centre bounce work. So at the moment, in all Australian calculations, you're going to look at Cruiser, who played pretty well. Source Jacobs just on the outskirts. I think Mumford, Cruiser, and then Paddy Ryder are going to be the three blokes in calculation. And I reckon Paddy's probably got him at this stage. But I mean, for his improvement, not only just to say that he could back up after a year off, but I love the way in which he's changed tact a couple of times. So rather than trying to just get full, long, directed hits in the centre bounce and boundary line throw-ins, he's actually changed it up to dropping it in close, second efforts, follow-up, and then hitting the scoreboard. Yeah. What about his goals? Incredible.
Yeah, no, look, it's been an unbelievable effort after having the season off and last year and the pressure behind that to come back and play well. But I guess, you know, the big talk as well was beating a top eight side. And
they didn't beat a top eight side.
Well, let's just hear what Kenny had to say.
Doesn't matter. Seriously, it doesn't matter. We've won some big games away and we've still got another six or seven games, I can't remember what's left, to set ourselves into a position we want to be. And every win in this competition, I said on radio before the game, there'd be 12 teams today sitting there thinking they can win it if they get it right this year. And that's never been like that before. So it doesn't matter who you, any of those 12 teams you play, they're big wins.
So it doesn't matter, mate. You just get those wins, you bank the 4 points and you move on. But what
just
I will
clarify,
say,
West Coast were out of the top eight when this game was played.
What I will say about yesterday's performance, right? West Coast kicked 7 goals in a row at home.
Yeah.
I don't reckon they would ever have lost a game at Subi in the history of them being in the competition after kicking 7 goals in a row.
So you're talking some real resilience. Port come out, kick the first 4, and then West Coast kick the next 7 unanswered. Port then have a real mental toughness to get back into the game and fight back.
Mate, you can't underestimate that because it's just the crowd over there, it's full on. It's hard to swing momentum when West Coast have kicked 7 in a row at home. So yesterday's win was huge. Robbie Gray, I mean, it takes everyone to get the team over the line, but Robbie Gray, the first 15 minutes of that last quarter, involved in the first 4 goals, unbelievable. Like, they're the freak players that you need to win those big games.
Hey, Joe Attlee made his debut as well with 14 disposals, probably only played a half. How did you see him? I've seen him play at the Sandful level and rate him pretty highly, but how do you see his actual
start? Yeah, look, I thought it was a good start. You know, he got a good taste for it and travelling away, getting used to that. I thought it was a solid performance. He's going to be a good long-term player. But Sam Powell-Pepper, mate, still smashing in. Hurt his shoulder, gets back out there. So, mate, he's become a leader over, you know, from the moment he's walked into that club, he's regarded as a leader. It's unbelievable.
There's a bit of man love as well around from the coach on Powell-Pepper also, isn't there?
I know. Kenny's dropping his guard, mate. He's loving these boys. So,
certainly he is. Getting around him. Are they going to have some dinners over his place and some real bromance happening?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, have a Kenny will get him on the tools, tidying up around the house, so that's all right.
They love the punt as well with big Ken. Ken loves a punt, doesn't he?
Oh, I think he likes the greyhounds. He's, don't know if he...
Hey, great to see Chaz Dixon as well back booting 5 and his accuracy. Do you tap into this accuracy conversation or do you think it's just on the day?
I think a key forward that can go back and convert most goals is worth its weight in gold. And I guess with Port Adelaide, very lucky with Schultzy in the past. But Charlie looks as though his kicking's on point at the moment. So he was great yesterday. And he's been a great recruit. He's had a standout season as well.
No doubt. Stick around. The match review panels are in their verdicts. And we'll bring you those straight after this next break, Sean Craig Murphy. But $1,000 to give away on the quiz with no name. And get on board at Triple M Adelaide on the Twitter feed, which Chad Soper has done already. just asking if I can predict if there's any rain. He's just jumped on. Seriously. Give us a spell, Chad. I only got on for a minute and you're already having a crack at me. Well, we're lucky enough to be joined by a man who is averaging 31 disposals in 2017, Dominic. He's having a ripping year in All-Australian contention, the Adelaide Crow gun, Rory Laird. Go, Rory. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Lairdy, how'd you pull up, mate? You had another monster game yourself, 32 touches, 88% efficiency in those conditions is a very good effort. How's the body, mate, this time of the year? How'd you pull up?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. This time of the year, you always have a niggle every week, sort of not feeling 100% cherry. It's a long season, but not too bad. But there's always a knock here and there, and it was pretty wet conditions on Friday, so it was a pretty contested game. And yeah, you always get a couple of knocks here and there, but not too bad. We just had a run around today and got moving again after the Friday night game. So yeah, I think most of the boys have pulled up pretty well.
Brownie's knee, obviously copped a knock on that, spent some time on the bench, and also Texas Eye may have been concerned. How'd they pull up?
Yeah, I think Brownie was all right. He just copped a knee on knee and sort of, it was a bit of a stinger, but he came back on and he was all right. So I think he's ready to go. And Texas looked pretty bad on the weekend in the COVID. It looked like it was pretty swollen and sore, but today I saw him and he looked pretty good. He was outside training and having a kick, so I think it was just also another stinger in his eye, but healthy over the weekend, but he's looking all right now.
Lairdy, I guess the only real scrutiny that you guys have faced a little bit this year, because you're playing such a sound brand of footy, sitting at the top of the ladder, was I guess the physicality of some of your big guys, in particular Tex and Big JJ, and I thought the way they played on the weekend, they came out and they used their body and had a bit of a presence out there, which made you guys just look that another level of looking strong out there. Is that something you got spoken about internally? Did you guys put it on those two individuals in particular, or was that just something that they wanted to deliver on themselves?
You're spot on with the way they played, and I think you hit it the nail on the head there with the presence that they had. I reckon when they're playing like that and rolling around like they did on the weekend, it brings the energy up for the whole group, and especially Tex is a leader and Josh is really experienced player too now. When they're doing that, it sort of brings us up. And, it's been spoken about over the past couple of weeks. I had a bit of feedback on it. But I think just the way they've been going about it, like Josh last week as well, had 13 tackles and set the tone again. So I think it was more on themselves as well. I think they're, two very experienced players and on a par with the way they go out there each week. And I think they set the standard on the weekend for us, and both were, really dominant on Friday night.
Sitting on top of the ladder, obviously get scrutinised very highly, and also your role as well throughout the year, Lairdy, is that occasionally you've had a defensive forward come to you to try and negate your role. Friday night, you got a bit of leniency, but how has that been working, and have you noticed it yourself, obviously?
I had a bit of it. It's actually, Brody Smith's probably copped out a little bit more than me this year, which is not nice, because I don't like to see Brody, getting run with, but it's sort of happened, and you just got to try and go out there and play to your structure and play the way that, as you're doing down back, play your role and don't get dictated to by what he's doing. So I've only had a little bit with Brisbane and a little bit of St Kilda sort of got into Brody and I. Yeah, it's more about just going out there and trying not to get dictated to by them. And you're seeing it can be pretty effective with like Johannesson and other players getting run with off halfback. So you just got to try and negate that the best way you can.
The thing you must be loving, Lairdy, at the moment is down in the back line is Big Jake Lever. I mean, when you see him going for those grabs and clunking them, it allows you to get pretty offensive, doesn't it, from your particular role? So you must be loving the fact that you've got a key position player that doesn't only just spoil, he's prepared to take a grab and then get offensive movement going off that.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, Jake. He's reading the play really well, and he does read it well in terms of if he needs to come over and do a massive spoil, or he can clunk a few intercepts as well. So, he's growing with confidence in his game, and it's just pretty incredible to see what he's doing for someone that hasn't played 50 AFL games yet. So he's just he's building up really nicely.
Very nice. Hey, Saturday night as well, we had a bit of a 80s night for the football club. Who was best dressed and who was best on?
Oh, yeah, it was good. A couple of players organised it. Brad Crouch was in charge of, getting us all together and, getting away from the footy club and just hanging around with each other and, just having each other company. Best dressed was probably Dave McKay. He was in an unbelievable Michael Jackson outfit. Spot on, yeah.
He nailed it.
Yeah, he nailed it, mate. He had a few good dance moves, but it was very enjoyable. It was nice to get dressed up and, have a bit of fun away from the footy club together.
Great work, mate. I'm sure there's a few stories about Michael Jackson. We look forward to those. And we certainly look forward to you taking on the Demons this weekend up in Darwin, which will be a cracking match to shape up your top eight chances.
Yeah, big match this weekend, mate. Looking forward to it.
Top eight, mate. They're locked in the top three.
I know. Good luck, Andy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, mate. Catch ya.
Don't sweat the swag, Sean. He has got a good one, that's for sure. A carnage of Stage 9. Richie Porte is out of the Tour de France. He went to hospital with a neck brace. Jump on our website at Triple M Adelaide to see that crash. It is massive. And MRP's in as well, Dom, on the verdict with Taylor Walker.
4 weeks.
He's not. Don't keep going there. You'll rattle the...
He might just miss that showdown coming up, but that's right. They're just $1,000 fine. So he's going to be out there, and off the back of the game he played on the weekend, he's in for a big few weeks, I think.
Hey, our Twitter poll has lit up as well. We've thrown that out there. Where does Luke Hodge sit on the back of his retirement coming into his 300th game against the Cats this week as the greatest ever Hawthorn player? So throwing the Twitter poll at the moment, the greatest, 33% say he's the greatest ever, and 32% top 10, 27% top 5. But Dom, you played against him and shook hands with him many a time. Where does he sit?
He's right up there with absolute best. I mean, you know, captain for 4 or 5 years. He played in 4 premierships, 2 Norm Smiths, 3 All-Australians, BNF twice. You name it, he's done it. I guess with Hodgie, the thing that he's got the toughness. So he led by the way he played. You know, his attack on the footy and the attack on the opposition players. But playing against him, aside from all that, is that he would just tell every player what they need to be doing and when. And you can't put a value on that. The amount of close games they would have won, not only on the back of him playing really well in the dying minutes of a game, but him structuring up his teammates to get him over the line. So he's just been an absolutely amazing player, once-in-a-generation player.
Just on that, when he is talking to his younger players, here's what he had to say about those coming in underneath him.
It's weird because mentally I thought that would have been the first to go, where I'm still loving football. Still really enjoy it. Probably not so much of meetings all the times, but actually playing out there, still love doing it. My body still feels good. But what I've realised over the last month is the development of our younger guys through injury that we've had through senior players. They've really taken steps and personally, and I think you all have got the same opinion, if I play on next year that I'll be taking a spot of a younger guy. And as a senior bloke, I would never want to do that.
Do you reckon the Hawks learnt from the Mitchell scenario last year, Dom, in that they want to keep him, obviously? I mean, he's suited to the media. We've seen him on Channel 7. He joins us here on Triple M often. Wonderful media performer. Going to be an amazing coach. Incredible leadership skills. Where does he go?
Oh, look, he's got a wealth of options. I think it's pretty clear that he just wants to take a bit of time out of the game and a long career. But, he's got a bright future ahead of him, whichever path he goes down. But, I mean... Where would you put him? Where do you put him? Out of the last decade, out of all the Hawthorn players to come through in the last decade, do you put him above Hodge? Do you put him above Mitchell and Burgoyne and those guys? Do you rank him number one?
I think that Silk has had more of an impact over the last 10 years.
Wow.
Sean Burgoyne, when he went to that football club, changed it as far as on-ground performances. You play with him.
Yeah, Sean's been great. Look, they're just 3 champions of the game. How lucky are Hawthorn to have those 3? Plus, you throw in a Lewis and they had Buddy along the way and Roughhead. But I think Hodgie takes the cake, mate. In all facets of the game, toughness, the way he goes about it. So that's my opinion.
Clarko, I reckon, might have an agreeance with you. Here's what the coach had to say.
I think everyone in the room would acknowledge it's been a pretty fascinating journey that Hodgie's had at our football club. We mentioned about once in a generation type of player, and Hodgie's certainly that. He brought some attributes, obviously in terms of the way that he could play the game. I don't think there was a position he didn't play in his 16-year career. He even liked to fancy himself as a ruck there for a fair period of time.
Great stuff to hear from Clarko. A lot of bromance there too, Dom.
Yeah, they've been through a lot together, a lot of success between those two.
Jars is off doing some hot yoga and Louie's driving the countryside in the family bus. You're here with Rhett Biglands and Dom Cassisi. Big news around Dominator with one of the greats retiring from AFL
Hodgie.
Today.
Hodgie's pulled up stumps at the end of the year. What a legend of the game. going to move on to bigger and better things.
Some carnage on stage 9 of the Tour de France with Richie Porte out. Let's all wish all the best for him. Jump on at Triple M Adelaide on our website. Have a look at this crash. It is insane. It's 72 kilometres an hour, but let's hope he's all right. And some news at the MRP too, Dominator.
Yes, Big Tex, it was reported earlier, got 4 weeks, but it's just a fine. It's $1,000 fine. He's going to be fit and firing.
Talking through the teeth of a Port supporter. Big show to come for this final hour. We've got the man, Jackson Trengo, fresh off the plane to talk about the Port win and also Sean Craig Murphy. Let's give away some Danieros. Very, very slow and sensual, Sean.
It's just a build-up. It's just a build-up, guys.
The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name. Yeah! Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
All right, we've got Josh from Lightsview giving it a crack. Hey, Josh. You there, Josh? We're hoping you're there. We're hoping you want to win $1,000. If not, you can win $40,000 with Triple M.
I can hear him in the background there. Josh, you there, mate?
Hello.
Oh, he is here. How you going, Josh?
Oh, no, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want it.
I'm sure he does.
Maybe he can't hear us.
Josh, you got your radio turned on, mate?
He's got some technical issues. Yes.
Can you hear us, mate?
We can hear you. This is a great comedy segment.
I've got nothing on my phone.
I reckon you've got... There's a button on there called mute.
Hello?
Push the mute button. Unmute
That's
us.
That's gold. He can't hear you, Biggles, mate. You're wasting energy.
Well, I know, but people out there can. They're having a ball with us at Lightsview.
You there, Josh, mate? Now, what we might do, guys, we might come back to that because Josh is obviously having some problems with his phones.
Such a build-up,
I know, it was dramatic, wasn't it?
Jeez, I was nervous about asking these questions.
I reckon he's in a display home out at Lightsview and he's just in the can at the moment. He didn't want to hear it flush. Give him a spell.
Oh, no.
He'll be devastated he's missed out on 1,000. If you've been listening to the show so far, the questions today are definitely gettable,
even
with the limited knowledge that I have.
Look, we might try one more here.
We're going to drop him.
Then we'll just find out whether it's a problem with our phone system. Brad is on the phone. Hey, Brad, can you hear us?
Oh, no, don't tell me it's ours. We've just got a new computer system here.
We have, yeah, brand new.
In the last couple of years here at Triple M, we've had 4 monkeys pedalling behind a desk to keep up the computer system. We've just upgraded and we have some technical issues, but we're going to get these blokes on the line. If you haven't played this game before, which I love listening to with Jars and Louis, because Jars says nothing and Louis absolutely does a great job of running it, but it's $1,000. Get 10 questions correct in a row. You've got your Automasters lifeline up your sleeve. And when was the last time you checked your brakes, Dom?
We have got a special guest. Very fortunate. He's just got off the plane from Perth. Had a fantastic day yesterday. Very important part of the Port Adelaide lineup. And he's on the lip already to me.
Dommy boy stitched me up.
What have I done now, mate?
Last week you stitched me up with the boys, and I've come in here, and you're absolutely all over the joint.
I know. We're pulling it together.
Hang on. Let's get into this. How did he stitch you up at the club?
I was on radio last week, and he sent the boys through a text that happened a few years ago.
That's right.
Dom was the captain, and we had a large night down the bar. I think it might have been at Chad Corns' house, and didn't end up too well for myself, but. Those days are past.
They're behind us, mate. Now look at your beautiful daughter in here, Sophia. How's that all going, mate?
It's all going really well. Dom, I was missed her for about 5 days there. Steph went back to Cobram and obviously we went over to Perth to play the game. So I just picked them up from the airport as well and flew straight in here. So couldn't be any happier at the moment.
Brilliant. Mate, yesterday, it's never an easy task going over to Perth. No matter where the West Coast are positioned on the ladder, but, you know, a bit of pressure off the back of last week about, you know, once again, people saying you haven't been a top eight side, all that sort of thing. But yesterday, for West Coast to kick 7 goals in a row and then lose the game at home, I don't reckon that would have ever happened. What changed?
Oh, Dom, to be honest, we thought we're going all right. You know, we started really well over there, which is what we obviously wanted to go over there with the plan to start well, to try and silence the crowd a little bit. We knew at some stage they were going to come. They're a quality opposition and very hard to beat over there. So we knew at some stage they were going to come. They come really hard. We probably didn't want it to be 7 goals, but... that was the way it was. And the boys were really confident with the way we were playing. So we just needed to fix up a few things in that second half, which I thought we were able to get on top of. And then, we really went away with it. And it was a really big win, obviously. The week before, we were pretty disappointing against Richmond. I mean, the stats were in our favour, but we weren't able to capitalise on what we wanted to. But to the boys' credit, we've probably stuck to that structural year. And we've really believed in our game plan, whether it be, wins or losses. We still review it very heavily and work on the things that we need to improve every week.
Hey, Jacko, when that onslaught came, there was 7 goals in a row. Is there a trigger or a word that you guys use on the field to try and change the style of play? At Adelaide, we used to have an Anzac call if you had three goals in a row against you. But that tenacity and mindset to turn that onslaught around, how did that come about?
Well, there's definitely some plans that you do try and put in place when the opposition kick a couple of goals. It's definitely comes in the midfield because that's where the game's sort of won or lost, and that's probably where the pressure builds the most. And, you know, our midfielders were still getting their hands on the ball in that, you know, patch of seven goals. We just weren't able to capitalise or control the game. So I thought just before the halftime break, we're able to, you know, control the game for a little bit and then hit the scoreboard as well, which was very important for us to get a little bit of confidence going into the halftime break. And, yeah, Ken just said, just keep believing in what we're doing. We obviously wanted to tidy up a few entries going into 50. We're probably kicking a little bit long to West Coast, who really love it when you do bomb kick. They've got such great intercept markers with McGovern down there at Barras, who are really good markers. So we just need to fix that up a little bit, and we're able to do that in the second half and come away with a really strong win for the club.
Mate, your role specifically, I mean, your biggest strength is your flexibility, you know. See, last week you do the sacrifice your role to a certain extent to look at Rants, and then, you know, yesterday, last quarter, you're in the ruck doing really well. You kicked 2 goals. Mate, who makes the call for you to go on ball? Like, is it between you and Paddy, or does the runner come out, or how does that all work?
Oh, we're probably building a little bit, Dom. It's at the start of the year, it was ideally we would have liked to have just kept doing a lot of work, but for whatever case it was, Hamish got injured a couple of times. I'd actually played down back for the first 5 weeks, so probably hasn't been to the last couple of weeks that me and Paddy have felt really comfortable with, you know, what each other can do, how to try and get that mismatch in the game, rather than just say, you know, you've got 5 minutes, you've got 10 minutes to read how one another's going. So West Coast obviously had 3 ruckmen, so they were trying to work over Paddy a little bit, so it was good for me to just be able to get in there and give him a chop out, and he's just in terrific form, so it's good just to read each other's play and see how we're going. If I'm able to get some clearances in there, just stay in there, and if he's doing some damage up forward, so it's just really reading each other and going from there.
This goal-kicking mindset, which people are banging on from outside of the club, has it been spoken about? How'd you address it on the weekend?
Yeah, we definitely spoke about it. It's been an issue for us this year. It's there's no doubt about it. It hasn't just been outside words that, you know, we've looked really heavily at our goal-kicking, and it's probably one area that we've been most disappointed with, because we have had a lot of opportunities to win a couple of those games that were a bit tighter, that probably goal-kicking did let us down. We're just continually working on it, mate, to be honest. We haven't really stopped working on it, and it's not one thing that, you know, this week it was really good. Next week, hopefully, it continues to be really good. But you just start to get a bit of confidence. You have a game like we did on the weekend, we're able to convert, and you get a bit of confidence from that, and we are definitely doing the work on it. So hopefully that pays off in the second half of the year.
Well, the Power supporters, they are certainly happy with the goal kicking, and they want to also know about your contract. So stick around. We want to really dive in deep with that. They want to see you next year. Couple of minutes time, we're joined by Jackson Trengrove.
Yes, we're very lucky to still have Jackson Trengrove with us after a great win yesterday. Now, mate, it's important for us to acknowledge this week, big week for you and your family, 150 games at the one club, which is, you know, it's a big deal, mate. So congratulations. Now, I guess over the 150 games, what's been the low point and the high point so far of your career? Share them with us.
Dom, we had a fair few low points, you know, early on in my career. I mean, you were the captain of the club then. We were obviously going through a tough stage, and probably the lowest point in my career was when we lost one of our great mates to a tragic event. That was probably the lowest of events that sort of happened at our footy club. But, you know, it doesn't matter how bad your football's going, there's bigger things going on in the world, and that was obviously a huge thing for us at the time and still is. And we still acknowledge J-Mac every single time we go out in the ground, and it's an honour to touch him before we run out in Adelaide Oval, because there's a big photo of him in the boys' locker room, and we get to still run out and feel that we are running out with him every week. And probably a high point's obviously your family watching you, your first game. We've had a lot of great showdowns that have been really close, and also your finals are also pretty terrific. We haven't obviously got to the big dance yet in my career, but hopefully in the next few years we do get to it.
Mate, just before, I guess Biggle's going to ask you about your contract, which you mentioned earlier. I think it's it just triggered my thought, you know. Just before you signed your last contract, you know, you were at a club where I don't think we had a coach at the time. I think the board had just been fully turned over. Like you said, we just lost J-Mac. And you and Boakey were our two shining lights. That, you know, if you guys sign up, this could be a big positive for us to pull us out of this hole we're in. And mate, I'm interested to revisit it because why did you stay? You know, what were you hanging on to re-sign at that stage?
To be honest, it's the family that comes with the club. You don't sort of understand until you're actually a part of it, and just how much they care for their players. I mean, everyone talks about football being such an industry, but the Port Adelaide Football Club do care about their players, their families. Some of the stuff they do with, you know, the parents on the outside that they don't have to do. They've got no obligation to the things that they do for the parents and probably just the boys as well. I thought we had a list that could go somewhere if we were able to keep them together. And as you did mention, it was probably me and Boakey that sort of had a chat, and we had a chat with a few of the other key blokes that needed to sign for us to go forward. And obviously they're all still at the football club now, and we're able to stick together. And, you know, we obviously haven't got to where we want yet, but you can feel that the light is open and we are heading in the right direction.
We're joined by Port superstar Jackson Trengove, who plays his 150th this week, talking contracts. And a lot of scrutiny comes under players now, especially with the CBA out of the way. Now, the supporters at Port Adelaide have been, you're one of the favourites. They're asking about yourself and Jasper Pittard. If you want a flag this year, would that guarantee that you would sign next year? Because Port Adelaide are in with a chance, 1 of 12 teams. If you want a flag this year with Port Adelaide, would you stick around, or would you say that's probably something which I might have achieved and moved on?
I don't think that'll sort of play too much in my decision to stay or go. I mean, it's as I just mentioned then, it's a fantastic football club, and I've loved every minute of it and still enjoy every minute of it and love the boys. We've got something that we want to achieve as a football club, like every other team does. You want to achieve the ultimate goal, and I feel that you know, our playing list is building towards that. Another thing's your family that you've got to consider. I've got a young girl that you know, you do want to see them get raised in front of their grandparents, and that's another thing that you just got to weigh up. And we're starting to do that at the moment. I think my manager's starting to talk with the football club, so it's all pretty positive, mate, and hopefully you know, get sorted sooner rather than later.
Mate, on a lighter note, Jarman Impey lives with you. I saw him last week and I said, mate, do you help out with babysitting or what? And he's pumping himself up. Like, he really got, he goes, yeah, mate, like, I'll look after Sophia. And mate,
he can't even look after himself.
No, it's like
having a 9-month and an 18-year-old in your house, mate.
So you've got two kids.
I've got more worries about him than what I do Sophia. Jesus. It's you know, he's rolling in, he's got things, people coming through. It's
got
like,
his fidget spinner happening.
Yeah, he's got his fidget spinner, mate. He's very good, and he's the godfather of Sophia. So he does
good selection for godfather.
Yeah, no, he does care for her a lot, and obviously he's been through a heck of a lot before this year, and he's playing some terrific footy as well. And he helps out home. He can't cook, can't clean, can't do much else.
He
does provide a bit of value. He's a very funny kid, and he's always positive, so he's good to have around.
Good on you, mate. Beautiful. Well, mate, we've got to thank you for coming in. It's always great to catch up with you, and particularly after a good win. And we'll just wish you all the best for this week. You deserve every minute of enjoying this week.
I'll tell you what,
the boys get
he's
up
actually
for you.
More organised than you, Dom. He's
come That's in not hard.
And he's done a good job. I wouldn't mind having him back on Wednesday. What are you doing Wednesday to fill in?
He's bumping me on Wednesday.
I'll pop in. Frankie thinks there's 8 days in a week. He's got no idea. He's got
me out on Wednesday.
Frankie Cassis, he's got no idea what's going on. So
the Dominator.
Me and Dom have always had a bit of a love relationship with the club, and Dom's played a handful of jokes on me over the time. And
that's right.
We do miss Dom down there. It's always good when he pops in. The boys stick around for a laugh, and I think we miss about 15 meetings because he just goes on and on. But I'll take over Wednesday, and we'll have a bit more organised than what Dom does today.
All right, I'll definitely won't be tuning in on Wednesday.
Very different to the rush hour, but thanks for coming in, and we'll lock in for Wednesday.
Go on, your boys.
Our best hope in the Tour de France is out as well. Richie Port with a massive crash, which is sad news for all of Australian cycling supporters. And a big retirement today too, Dominator.
Yeah, big Hodgie. Luke Hodge, one of the legends of the game. Unfortunately, he's going to wind it up at the end of this season. So, well done to a true champion.
Certainly is. And some investigation from the AFL today. We've got some more information on midfielder Clayton Oliver from the Demons after that ugly exchange yesterday where he confronted a Carlton supporter. If you missed it, it was over the boundary line. And here's the commentary.
Clayton Oliver exchanging words with a Carlton fan. Not a good idea to do that. Ignore the crowd. Don't go and confront them and cross the boundary line. You never know what could happen, you know.
I'm not sure what words were spoken there. I got the feeling I'm going to hear a little bit more about that.
They did some more investigations, and it is an ugly incident where he has been approached over the boundary line and Oliver went back at him. It's a worrying sign because obviously after the Eddie Betts incident at the Adelaide Oval where a lady who wasn't as educated as most threw a banana or a weapon over the boundary line at Eddie Betts, which was premeditated and was a disgusting sight for the AFL. And the follow-up with this incident today with Clayton Oliver, and there is no way in which a player should engage with a crowd member. But then again, the crowd members asked for an apology, Dom.
Yeah, he came out earlier asking for an apology. So it's just saying here that the player, Clayton Oliver, has been counselled on this by the club after discussions with the AFL, and the club has apologised to the patron. But the Carlton supporter did came out earlier today asking for an apology. But, you know, Clayton
but
Oliver...
How does a crowd member want an apology?
Look, if Clayton Oliver swore at him and went back at him, then you probably shouldn't swear at someone. But, I mean, to anyone going to the footy, if you're going to lean over the fence and call any footballer soft or swear at him, then
this is alleged what's
you
happened.
Open yourself up. You open yourself up because it's not something you're not going to say that in general. You know, if you go to Woolworths to do your groceries and you saw a footballer there, you're not going to go up to them in their face and go, mate, you're soft or you're this, that, and the other. I guarantee you that's not going to happen.
But there are punters who might do it,
but,
though.
Well, very rarely. I've never seen it, but you get the false bravado when people are at the footy.
Got a fence in between
sort of
you
stuff.
And some bloke. And
yeah,
a couple
so
of
it's just like, there's no need for it. There's no need for the supporters to do that. Opposition supporters or any supporter, and there's no need for Oliver to do the same back either.
Have you ever been vilified over the boundary line?
Many times.
Racially or...?
Not racially. More
no,
just,
sexually or any of those?
Nah.
Question your sexuality?
Oh, some of the stuff that I caught was pretty warranted. You know, people calling me slow.
Yeah,
I was just
true.
Like, mate, tell me something I don't know. You know? All that sort of stuff, but no, it's all good. Look, and a lot of it's all in the fun of the game, but the abusive stuff needs to put aside.
So these issues which have come to fruition, we've seen in the EPL where they pushed the boundary line back, or they pushed the boundary line away from the fence to protect the players in regards to abuse because weapons could be thrown, as it was with the Eddie Betts scenario. Do you think the players, and we don't want to see that scenario, do we? We don't want to see the crowd distant from the player.
No, not at all. I mean, I think there's plenty. There's enough distance there now between the boundary and the fence, and very rarely the players will get so close to the fence to be able to engage with the people that are spectating. But you know, it's just I reckon it's a bit of common sense out there. You know, if it's not something you'd say to someone to their face, don't say it at all.
And in the crowd at the moment, I mean, at Adelaide Oval, we're lucky that we can still have both opposing teams. And in the AFL, you compare that to the EPL where they
segment them,
put a massive fence up between the two.
Yeah.
But you're not too concerned at the moment in the way in which players are interacting with crowd members.
I think, mate, I don't think it's an issue at all. It's not something we see every week. This is hopefully a one-off and everyone can get on with it. But yeah.
Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Melbourne Football Club, has also had some contact and discussions with Clayton Oliver in regards to that and the threatening language, and said there is no discipline issues with the Melbourne Football Club after the Thomas Bugg incident and a few other things as well. Melbourne are playing right on the red line at the moment, aren't they?
They have, you know, and then you saw Jordan Lewis get rubbed out a few times when he's trying to overstep the line as well. So, look, they need to bring things into line a little bit because it could cost them some wins.
You don't think players antagonise crowd members at all? That was the other one I was getting at. We've seen Nathan Brown gave his middle finger to the crowd when he kicked a goal, got fined $12,000 for it.
Yeah.
You don't think players and because there's some celebrations which go very close to the boundary line.
There is. I mean, I don't know. You do see a bit of it here and there, but I don't think it's a big issue. It's all part of the game.
Good stuff. Massive news with Luke Hodge retiring today and plenty around still to come. Stick around on the Rush Hour. Hey, Carlton have confirmed the devastating news with star midfielder Patrick Cripps is out for the rest of the season. Broken fibula against the Blues, Dom. That's massive news.
Yeah, it is. It is out for the year. But in other big news, Jason Johannesson signed a 5-year deal.
Signed up. He's got a headache after slamming into the post.
Yeah, he has. So that's obviously been plenty of talk this year about his contract. And, no talk about how much he's going to get each year. But you think it'll be significant.
Keeping the dollars close to his chest. That was the Friday night match versus the Dogs Adelaide. And those votes from the coaches are in for that match. They gave Lever best on ground along with Taylor Walker 9 votes each out of 10. Jenkins with 5. Matt Crouch with 3. The Rat Rory Atkins got 2 from the coaches. Kelly with one, and Rory Laird. And the votes from yesterday, Dom?
Yeah, so yesterday, Charlie Dixon, no surprise, got 9 votes. Ryder got 9 as well. Those two were best on ground. Then we go Bokey with 5, Westhoff with 3, Ebert with 2, Wines with 1, and Wingard with 1.
Hey, also from Friday night, that match. Well, I've always admired as a leader, Dom, your courage and toughness and work rate, but... you know, probably your athletic prowess wasn't one of your strengths. Speed and agility. But when you've got it and when you haven't got it, you don't claim it. Rue claims that the Mitch McGovern mark was the one in which he inspired. He spoke to Mitch McGovern pregame, told him how to jump on his head, land on his feet, bow to the crowd. Rue took all claims for it. And have a listen to this.
Rue's laying claim to Mitch McGovern's big hanger, told him exactly how to do it, who to jump on and how to land.
Go and ask him, Tex.
Rue, you couldn't jump over a tally-ho paper.
No. Go watch some of the highlights through the 90s.
Hey, Tex.
Go and have a look at some highlights in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Rue has been a prisoner of gravity the whole of his life.
Seriously, Rue, mate. There's no VHS tapes around these days. You can't get
Dad Day with one of the greats retires. Luke Hodge calling it a day ahead of his 300th game versus the Cats this week. Jump on our website at Triple M Adelaide to get the full interview. A bit of rivalry around as well, not only between the Cats and the Hawks, but between two players at the moment. Port Adelaide champions who have gone through your club. Also between Port Adelaide and Richmond Dominator, which obviously on the back of Troy Chaplin and his positive feedback email that he sent to your boys. And then after the last meeting between the two sides. And then Dimmer Hardwick and now Kane Corns have gone at each other with a bit of a Twitter slam. Have a listen to this.
No, seriously, I'd love to see Kane. I'd love to. I'd really love to see Kane.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. That's his job.
Sure.
He's there to write shit comments.
Okay. Do you give that any credibility, that?
Please.
Oh, I think, yeah. In isolation, I actually don't think Kane's comments the other night weren't that bad. And if Dimmer probably had read them, he probably would have thought...
So what were the comments again?
I think Kane's
on the number of inside inside 50 entries versus St Kilda.
There's no other way to explain it other than the fact that they're probably getting ahead of themselves. So in isolation, that is not horrific comments. You know, other people would have been thinking that. I think what it is it's been a build-up over a couple of years, I think.
Talk us through it.
Well, I don't know. I think Dimmer was a little bit upset last year, from what I understand, with some of the stuff that Kane said about Richmond. And obviously there's a lot of rivalry between Richmond and Port Adelaide. I think there's been probably a build-up of a couple of things over the last maybe couple of years where, and that was probably the last straw for Dimmer to sort of fire up a bit. So who knows, mate? I don't know. Kane said he's going to try and, I think Kane was publicly said he's going to try and make contact with Dimmer. So, mate,
we're hearing word that Kane tried to contact him and got no reply.
Got
Dimmer.
Donuts.
got baked beans. Absolute baked beans.
Yeah, I know.
He's done the same with Adelaide captain Taylor Walker, where they've got on the Twitter barrage as well to try and incite a little bit of banter back and forth. It rattled a few cages. Is it a bad look for Port Adelaide with past champions? They had a premiership reunion recently where the two got together.
Yeah, look, I think the Thursday before every grand final, the 2004 premiership team trying to get together in Melbourne. I didn't go last year. I think Kane and Dimmer were there and got along all right, from what I understood. So, look, these things flare up. Heat of the moment, Dimmer's probably upset. But, look, I personally don't really like saying it because we played in the premiership together. You know, like it's, you know, you don't need to be arguing against each other. There's a lot of other people out there you can have an argument with. But, look, I'm sure it'll blow over. The media are loving it and everyone will move on.
Well, apologies to all the listeners who couldn't get through on the phone line for the quiz with no name, Dominator. We had some computer errors, didn't we?
We did, mate. Seriously, we've got engineers calling between our legs trying to fix this problem. We just got to get out of here.
Well, whoever stole my copy of Microsoft Outlook, I will track you down. You have my word. Get it?
I don't.
I get it. That was really bad.
Seriously. Mate, your jokes, shelve them for the rest of the week and we'll be all right.
Shattered for Luke Hodge to retire ahead of his 300th this week. We'll be playing out the rest of the season. Richie Porte out of the Tour de France. Been a big day. And Tyler Walker as well. Just getting a little fine for his. Jason Johannesson signing for 5 years.
Yep, great to have Jacko in the studio. Jackson Trengove. Tomorrow we got Roosie. Have a good chat with Roosie. He's always very insightful. And Robbie McEwen, who will fill us in on everything to do with Tour de France.